Yep, so my name is Alexandra Hotchin. I go by the name of Alex, mostly. And I'm in Australia. I usually reside in Melbourne, right down near the southern tip of Australia. But at the moment, I'm living up in the north for a while, moving around a little bit and getting to see some other parts of this massive country. I definitely call myself a cartographer now because I feel like it opens up more interesting conversations. I think it's a word that, well, especially here, that a lot of people haven't heard for quite a long time, or maybe have heard so rarely, they can be very surprised that like somebody can call themselves that and actually do that, you know, as a day job. So yeah, I always use cartographer. I guess my first creative map was made when I returned home from a few years overseas about 10 years ago, and my dad had just retired, but he'd bought a little farm, you know, as a retirement, you know, sort of thing. He's sort of retired but not retired. I just remember going to that farm and I was just so struck by how beautiful it was. I was just like walking around the paddocks and I ended up kind of like studying, you know, where all the big trees were and where all the water gullies and the creeks were. And I drew and painted that farm as a map. And I'd say that's the first one I made. And then I ended up actually submitting that to the Atlas of Design, the NCIS Atlas of Design, which I'm sure you know about. And it was published in, well, maybe their first book or their second book. So I was quite excited, actually, that the first map I drew found a bigger audience because I was actually just making it for my dad. I think I was just so struck by the beauty of this place that in some ways it just sort of made the map beautiful because the colours were so lovely. Been up there, you know, every week for the past 6 months and I've visited it a lot before, but I know so much more about that place now and it's almost like I could make another map layer over this one that I made 10 years ago and then another one and another one and another one. Like it almost needs some sort of map book now of transparent map layers, you know, that you could, you don't know, like layer up because there's like, it's so much more familiar to me, that place. But it's nice to have that map when I first met it, when I first met that land. I had no intention of becoming a cartographer when I drew that farm map. But then, you know, a few people saw it and people were asking me to draw maps of maybe like, some people were asking me to draw story maps of their family, like especially if they were immigrants or something. But at that stage it was kind of like acquaintances of friends or family. And then I just started to do more and more and more. And then I just found myself doing less and less architecture. And then during COVID here, so not really until 2020, so that's only 3 years ago, and just the architecture work completely fell away. And I just thought, wow, this is my opportunity. I'm just going to make maps full time. And the interest and demand at that time was just overwhelming, Evan. I couldn't keep up with the requests for commissions. But I think I was very lucky because, you know, I've made a lot of adventure maps, bikepacking maps and walking maps, which came about from me making all of the maps about my 2-year bike journey around the world. And then just in a time like during COVID, everybody was interested in the outdoors. So that's when I really found my feet and that's when I 100% started calling myself a cartographer. Being justified cartographer is only really a few years into it for me. But I have been making maps for about 10 years. But in the beginning, I just considered it as a hobby because I just really didn't. Well, I guess I just didn't. I had never known a cartographer before, really. And I just didn't see that it could be a full-time endeavour. But it can. In 2011 and 2012, I did close my architecture business down for a few years and I went and rode my bike from Scotland to Cambodia. And when I came home from that trip, I made, just in my spare time at nights when I went back to working in architecture, I made a map of every country that we travelled through. And, you know, like all of the stories sort of embedded in our journey through those places on our bikes. So it's kind of like the only way that I could find to actually explain how immense the experience was, really. Couldn't seem to find the words for it. And maybe also there was something quite nice in, like, you can tell somebody the story of riding your bike from Scotland to Cambodia, but it's still you telling it. And I felt like with the drawings, people were able to kind of trace their own route through that country with what I'd drawn. So maybe they were in part able to experience it more for themselves rather than sort of being told. And I had an exhibition of those maps, and the responses, the emotional responses of people to those drawings was just so surprising to me. You know, people were just, I think it reminded a lot of people of maybe what they would have liked to have done, and maybe some of them never did, but also so many people just said to me, oh, my God, like, you just have shown how beautiful the world is. And people found it emotional. So I think that can be such a beautiful thing about maps. And I saw that at the time, Evan. I just thought, oh, wow, like, imagine making a career out of drawing how beautiful the world can be. I just really liked the idea, really. And the interest worldwide, actually especially in America and Europe, in those maps was immense, because I don't think anyone had ever embarked on an outdoor adventure like that and drawn it, like, especially drawn it as maps. The maps were like an invitation for them to go on the adventure as well. That's how I felt that they were so successful in, I guess, explaining how life-changing something like that can be. And people, most people could feel it. I got so many letters and emails from strangers. It was, yeah, it was really. And then I thought, something in cartography. During COVID, I was working on 10 maps for, there's a Dutch guy, Martin Doorland, who published a book recently called 2 Years on a Bike, and he contacted me to make the maps for his books. So I made 10. He rode his bike from Vancouver to Patagonia, and I made 10 very highly detailed maps for his book. And in the beginning, it was very frustrating working with Martin because he's so pedantic. And I just realised at one point that he wanted something from me that I had really not been able to achieve in my drawing yet. But he just pushed me and pushed me. And I just think with working with him, which was in the end such a great experience, because COVID was a very lonely time in Melbourne here. There were, you know, there was just multiple lockdowns. But here I was working with this guy. He was living in Barcelona at the time, and we'd talk, you know, every few days about, you know, the parts of the map that I'd, you know, just drawn for him and emailed the night before. And he just pushed me to a level, Evan, that just really grew my confidence immensely. And then I finally kind of like had the belief, I think I can be good at this. And I was so proud of it. The book's beautiful. His photographs are beautiful. His writing was beautiful. And my maps are beautiful. And, you know, it was published by Jess Talton, quite a well-known German publisher. And, I think I was lucky I had time during COVID, you know, because we were in lockdown so much as well that actually I could probably give those maps extra effort. And, I mean, Martin was lucky too as the client, because it just was a moment in time where we both had time. I just studied the topography of, you know, almost the whole of the Americas, really. And, I think we pushed each other. It was a two-way, I guess, learning, really. He taught me a lot, and I probably taught him a lot as well. My bike ride taught me a lot about using maps as well, because when myself and my partner went, we actually didn't take a GPS or even a mobile phone. We just took paper maps. And it was a conscious decision, you know, to not be on our phones the whole time and probably not to put yourself in a position where you can easily find where you're going, because, you know, on that kind of journey, to use a paper map and become a little bit lost is, it's a really nice way to interact with communities and people and, you know, ask for directions somewhere. And it was like that. And it just also reiterated, like, how we, you know, what we've lost using, you know, phones and all of those, you know, mapping platforms to find our place is you don't get to study landmarks anymore, you know, like work out that, you know, at the intersection, you know, you turn left or, you know, and up the road with, you know, when you see the post office, you go right or whatever. Like all of those kind of skills have been lost. Yeah, that's, we took paper maps on our trip and it was like, oh, like maps are, they're fantastic things. Paper maps are fantastic things for finding your way around. You know, and to write notes on as well. You know, like you see something and then you make a note about it on a paper map because it's something that you don't want to forget. But like from Turkey onwards, if you would show a paper map to someone and ask where you were, it was obvious that like not many people in those parts of the world had ever seen a map before. Had never actually seen a map and seen where their home was located on a map. You know, in country areas of Iran and Central Asia in particular, like all of those Stan countries, people don't have maps there. You know, they just tell each other. It's just all, it's verbal. I mean, this was, well, I think we returned from, we returned 11 years ago. I mean, maybe now everyone has phones. That's how quickly the world's changed. But back then, 10 years ago, yeah, it was unusual for people to see paper maps. In Australia, we used to be able to buy paper maps of, like, let's say the Australian Alps, the mountains, or, you know, Central Australia, some of the desert landscapes. But they're stopping, they're not going to make those anymore. There's just, I guess there's not enough demand. So now there is no choice. It is the phone or nothing. It's sad, really, isn't it? I'd actually love to do a big river map, but, you know, like walk the river. Like absorb everything yourself and then draw that place. You know, rather than, because like a lot of the maps I work on at the moment, you know, like people send me links, you know, to Google Earth and, you know, this is their farm or this is their bike route, whatever it is. And, you know, they tell me a lot about it and I can, I guess, extract the information from them and compose it into something, you know, that's beautiful. But there's still nothing like visiting yourself. There was a time when I was just doing it as a hobby, and then all of a sudden it sort of, I realised it was more serious than that, and with that just came pressure, I felt. But I made a couple of small maps. Do you remember that story about that Thai soccer team that was trapped in the cave in Thailand that flooded? It was like an amazing story, and there were like cave divers that travelled from all over the world to, you know, attempt to get those boys out. It was like an amazing story because they did. Well, there was a book made here of that, and I was asked to draw maps of that cave, but that was something that there was nothing that existed. So I had nothing to refer to, and I just had to listen to notes and verbal descriptions of what some of the cave divers had sent. These people that inched through those caves, they knew where every crevice was and how long it was and where the, you know, the sections were. And also, like, in some ways, they're very simple maps. You know, they're some of my most simple, because really they're just explaining for the book, like, how long this chamber was. But still, they look very simple, but they were quite complicated to get to, I suppose. By then, I'd kind of, like, I guess I'd gained some confidence and that I knew that I could do it in a way. But, you know, in the beginning, I wasn't confident I could please anyone what I would make, I guess. You know, when you're just starting out, because I didn't study, I guess like you, Evan, I didn't study cartography or map making at a college or a university. You know, I study architecture at university, but I guess I didn't have that time at uni to sort of, you know, access all of that critique and feedback. You know, I just sort of started doing it. And then, yeah, I guess I just really didn't know what I was doing, if that makes sense. So I would say in the beginning it was all a challenge, but now it's just become, I hope it has for you too. I just feel like it just all comes so much more easily now. That's just, it's a really nice feeling. Somebody that I think is doing, I'm mind-boggled every time, is that I think is he French or English, and he draws portraits over paper maps. I especially admire all of the map makers out there who are making something that is unique to themselves. And, you know, that includes so many people. But I guess I'm just always mind-boggled when that guy's maps come up. I'm sorry, I can't remember his name, because I just think the detail and I guess the forward thinking or forward vision he has to have in his mind about that portrait and where he will fit it into the blocks of that map. And it's almost like he's got to see the end before he starts. Whereas often I feel myself, I can sort of just start drawing and I will get to the end and I won't necessarily know what it's, I might have a bit of an idea, but I'll probably change my mind a few times along the way. Whereas, maybe he doesn't work like that, but to me it's just he's one person that I feel like he's got to know, the balance is almost so perfect that he has to know what it's going to be before he starts. That's why I admire him specifically, but there are so many people. I feel uncomfortable about pulling one person out actually, because I think there are so many people doing cartography unique to their style, which I think is impressive. And there's like, you know, an amazing lady here, Sarah Drake, I think it is. She's in Fremantle and she makes these crazy, colourful, amazing three-dimensional globes. I'm completely mind-boggled by it. She makes everything in balsa wood and paints it all. And I'm just, to me, I feel like she has to have like a heap of elves or something working for her, but she doesn't. She just makes these incredibly complicated, well, not complicated, maybe they're quite simple, but they're like crowded globes. You know, they show a great personality, I think. They show like the chaos and beauty of the world too, and it's sort of like haphazard happiness.
To see Hotchin's work, visit alexhotchin.com, HOTCHIN. For show notes, bonus content, and more episodes, visit veryexpensivemaps.com. I'm Evan Applegate, I'm a cartographer, and you should make your own maps.